And now we take you to a kitchen in Los Angeles, California.
Hey, I think I'll eat a beef and bean chimichanga.
Looks like a good idea.
Microwave. Looks like we removed the chimichanga from the wrapper.
What next?
Come on, I'm checking it out here. Okay, so remove chimichanga from wrapper. Place flap side down. Could do that. Bake uncovered until thoroughly heated. Okay. 30. Wait. Oh, that's oven.
Oh my gosh! You're not looking at microwave directions.
No, I accidentally looked at the oven once. Okay, so let's chimichanga wrap from wrapper and place it on the microwave. Safe plate. Yeah, I got it. Heat uncovered on full power.
Is it not half power? Full power?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, full power. Flip chimichanga to heat thoroughly.
What does that mean?
Well, we're gonna have to see. We're gonna see what this means. Caution. Feeling may be hot.
Oh no, that's gonna burn! My tongue, it's gonna hurt!
Frozen 40 seconds. Yeah, this is frozen. 40 seconds per side. Okay, so
40 seconds on one side, 40 seconds on the other, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Alright, let's get this out. Come here. Actually, let's put that back in. How did I close that up? Let's get some tape. Let's see, put that in the freezer. There's a... One would think they would. I'm gonna email these guys. Alright, so we got packing tape. Okay. Okay, so here we go. 40 seconds each side. This clock already said 44 seconds, so we're gonna count that time.
41, 40, 39, 38, 39, 36, 37, 35, 34, 33, 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22. 21, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
40 seconds, other side. We'll go 30. I mean, doesn't let you do 40 seconds. I mean, come on. So. Peanut. I'm gonna add a little of that.
gonna add a little bit of Thai peanut. Ba-da-ma-dum-ba-ba-da-da-dum.
Alright. It looks good.
Gonna add a little bit of wing time, medium buffalo wing sauce. Oh shit! Put a little too much there.
Alright.
Now. Test it out. Let's test it out. Now, how's it gonna be? Now remember, folks, we have quite a spillage in the village here. I'm gonna put you closer to the action. Whoops. Smell this. Funk.
Barbecue.
Oh. Whoa. Interesting. That's actually really good. You know, that's an underestimated thing. I think if they did a Texas sort of like Texas Mexican. Not Texas. I mean, what makes barbecue Texas? I don't know. Oh. Ah. Oh, ha. Ah. Ah. Hmm. Oh. Ah, hot. Ooh. Hmm. Oh, my God. My beer. It was all the way over there. Elysian Space Dust IPA. Okay. Back to the show. Now, you can tell how much I care about this by the way I cut my burrito. Good. Just might have to heat up a new one, right? Because I got all this sauce on here. It'd be a shame for it to go to waste. Oh, geez, that's hot. Hot in more ways than one. One might say, and one would say. Hot because it's been in the microwave long, and hot barbecue. It's been an interesting question in my mind. Think about David Letterman. Ooh, this is good. And he loves drinking his coffee really hot, apparently. Whoa. Oh my God. It's hot. Oh boy. Kids. Oh my God. I think I'm gonna. It was so good, I gotta eat another one. That's how good it was. Hey, Tina's Bean Chimichangas, if you want to sponsor me, the Inspirato Projecto podcast, I will be, you know, I will not be opposed to that.
I would not be opposed to that.
So, these various what do you call them? I don't know. Oh, yeah, 40 seconds. Alright, so. Okay, 40 seconds. Wow. It's a tricky thing, because right now it's at 48 seconds. Started at 1 minute. So what is that? Goes down to 60, so 40. Okay. If that's good. 80? I don't know. Oof. Oh, shoot. It's heating up the bar. Ooh, it's almost noxious. Yikes. Brr. Oh, man. Well, who knows? Barbecue seems to be noxious if you keep it. Crackling in there. Shoot. What am I gonna do? Oh no. So we're going 30 seconds now. Jeez, that was crazy.
What?
The cool thing is, I got lime, which I'll be using. I'll be using it. I don't know what's going on with this. Crack it open. Sprinkle some lime on it. I've got a half a lime right here that I'm going to completely use. I didn't use it on the last project, on the last food project. However, I will be using it. In this food project, I will be doing that.
That's right.
I came across some information. Earlier today, I came across information of YouTubers who are having a hard time. They're becoming having anxiety. They got these depression issues. Young kids. All these young kids. Depression issues. Anxiety. Go see my doctor. All that stuff. And they're YouTube stars making all this money doing what they love doing. I would say go out to Peru. Do some peyote. In Peru with a freaking shaman. Learn about yourself. Go out there with a shaman. Take some ayahuasca. And be indoctrinated into the all-seeing eye, the all that is. Oh, please tell me that I cooked this enough. Please. Please. Ah, that's cold. Oh my god, no way. Alright, hold on. I was quite curious. It told me to cook the burrito 40 seconds on each side. I cooked a minute on one side. No, not a minute. Forget it. I want to say it. I don't want to. If you're doing what you love doing, how do you get burnt out? Is it a feeling of expectations of what you think the audience wants? Because the audience wouldn't be there if they didn't like what you were already doing. So, why is there an expectation? I'm gonna sniff a green marker. Wait, this one's mint. Yeah. Wow. This is from the. Oops. This is from the. What are they called? Mr. Sketch scented. Markers. I like these. Alright, we're gonna eat this. God. Good. Better hot than cold, I always say. I'm gonna put that lime on it. Everson, you guys were there, right? You heard the Uber driver. He said to put lime on stuff. Well, we're putting lime on stuff. We're doing it. Improv, Inspirato Projecto is about definitely the appreciation of creative process, the unfolding of it. What goes into making something. The authenticity and the unapology that it takes to move it along. Each time I put my voice out there, it's another opportunity for me to be accountable to what I just said. In addition to being accountable to myself, I'm accountable to you, so to speak, if I even cared about that. Oh. Good. Oh, hot. Mmm. So. If we're creating what we love, why the pressure? Create what you love. No pressure. I've used the doodle analogy on many occasions. When you're talking on the phone, you're doodling. That's the purest form of art. So use that when creating what you're creating. The audience is there because you're being who you are. Does the pressure come from upholding a particular character? Is that where the pressure comes from? The pressure of continually being inspiring and being afraid of not being inspiring anymore? Is it the pressure of expectations of... of being afraid of not... living up to the image that your audience has built up for you. There was a great article. That I read earlier today. It's interesting. Because I frequently say something very similar to this. Okay, so the article said, you are a different person to every single person you meet. Every single person you meet thinks that you are a different person. You're a specific kind of person. So you can never actually be the person that you think you're presenting to them. Even after you present that person that you think you're presenting to them, you forget that kind of person you're presenting to them. It gets difficult upholding a specific identity, right? Who taught us that it was important to uphold a specific identity? Who said that to us?
Who said that we had to be this consistent, specific identity? And whoever that was, it was a most likely a human. So why are we feeling like we're slaves to whatever that idea was?
Is it that just that desire of wanting to live in a ready-made life? So you don't, you know, the less thinking you do, it's the better. So retirement, that's what retirement symbolizes, right? The less thinking you do, the better. You finally retire, you finally don't have to think anymore. You don't have to work anymore. You don't have to work so hard for someone else anymore. And because so much emphasis has been put on working hard, and that being this respectable thing, that's what we look at. Working hard. Then we respect that person. We say, oh my gosh, I respect you because you worked so hard. You worked so hard. I respect you, Lieutenant. You were so disciplined all those years. Thank you, Captain, for all of your service to the military branch that you served for all those years, and putting up with the rules, regulations, disciplines, and limited mindsets that were placed against you. The thing we're actually saluting them for is the courageousness that they took in being so molded. That's what we're thanking them for. And because we've been taught since an early age that this is a very important thing to do, through the history books, that becomes a very well-respected thing because many people have died in that honor and lots of graves. So we honor that, and yet, how many of those of us who honor that want to actually see the after effects of that? What if those who honor it so hardcore, the young kids, the, you know, playing Medal of Honor and Call of Duty and whatnot, what if all those kids who love that game, those games so much, and the people who so very much, you know, the patriots of the world who stand up for that stuff, what if they immediately were given the opportunity to talk and hang out with, commune with, learn from military vets who are missing half of their bodies? Do they feel that they really... I mean, do they feel that they really put in and, like, work into something that was really, 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 really worth it? That's a hard thing to come up to terms with. The idea of being told to be a part of this particular fighting. Here comes a helicopter.
So we're told there's this honor, there's this great, great service to the country for going off and fighting for the freedom of the country. How much freedom is there? Freedom is the, like, we're actually the bullies. Where's their freedom? We're, like, attacking places. No one born as a small child wants to fight. Who wants to fight? Who wants to fight? Who loves that 9-to-5 job? Where they come across opposition every day. Who loves that? Who lives for that? If you love that, if you live for that, please email me at inspiratoprojecto@gmail.com. If you love working your 9-to-5 job, if you live for that, if you think it's so important that you put aside your talents and passions. Like, for instance, I remember there were recruiters that would come by my high school. My dad was in the Air Force growing up. And so there was this idea in our brain that perhaps someday, my brother too, I think, someday I might go into the Air Force. So there was this idea of like, hey, maybe I'll go into the military. And then I started getting interested in acting. And then they came around and I said, well, is there acting? And they couldn't find a place to place me. I said, oh, no, I don't want to do it then. And then I was in COD, College DuPage, which is John Belushi and Jim Belushi's old stomping grounds where they grew up. I was there and I saw another recruiter. And same question. They asked me about what I liked, and because I've heard so much of these things where, you know, after people are in the military for X amount of years and I've heard some terrible stories. Bad things happen to them. PTSD, or they get shell shot, they get blown up, or who knows what. I mean, those are nightmares for the rest of their life, and no one's willing to help them out. By no one, I don't mean VA hospitals. VA hospitals are helping them out. But my God, we hear the stories time and time again, where the government promises a particular thing, fight for our country, we give this particular thing, and then you fight for the country, and your dick is blown off by some explosion. I met a man like that when I was substitute teaching. I was substitute teaching for a special ed class. And on lunch break, I would talk with him. I learned from him. And he told me how he was in Vietnam. He got injured. So he has to urinate through a catheter. And just what he had to go through in the court system, stacks and stacks of paperwork that proved his, you know, point. And they come back and they say, we can't afford, you know, sorry, we gotta close this case. We cannot afford to pay for this.
So he's always fighting. For something that apparently was promised to him. It's like an employment benefit kind of thing. You know, you sign the contract after you read what this new employer is offering to you. And there should be that. You're gonna come fight for us. We're gonna uphold this and the bargain. And still that. I mean, what's the thing that's holding them accountable? Even people who put their hands on the Bible lie. It says no actual sacred text. I mean, what if Jesus' words have been so completely twisted throughout the years and turned into a sacred text that there's a remnant in the truth? Remnant of truth. And, what's out there, and that people have been following for eons. So there's one remnant, and a bazillion other clever writers. Interesting. Sacred text. That's stuff we ought to be investigating. The sacred texts. Find out who exactly wrote them. Who? And who altered them? Who altered them? Changed them to fit their agendas. All right, that's all for now. More later.
We're gonna play the "Let's see if I can get them to say hi" game. Hello.
Hi, Debbie.
Good, how are you?
Hi.
Hi. Well, that was a group of five, and three of the five said hello. I think the other two felt the other three were representing them.
So believe it or not, you are listening to another edition of Inspirato Projecto Radio. You just heard John Garside from Forgotten Tales doing another social experiment. He's our man on the street. On the beat. On the beat street. So he was out there. Before that, you heard some folks trying to make a chimichanga, apparently. I hope they enjoyed it. I really do hope they enjoyed it. Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to contribute, please feel free. Send email with your audio submission. This could be spoken word. This could be, you know, let's say, for instance, if you capture, like, a good, let's say if you talk in your sleep, and you got people who live at your house who know that you talk in your sleep, and,
kitty,
they know you talk in your sleep, and they can actually record you while you're sleeping, that would be awesome. That kind of stuff is awesome. It'd be so cool to hear what you would have to say. I just dropped some pencils behind this desk here. So, yeah. Well, must be a dozen pencils back here. Here we are. All right. La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Pencils, markers, and some pens. La cucaracha. La cucaracha trapped it behind the desk again. La cucaracha, pencils, markers, and some pens. La cucaracha, I dropped it behind the desk again. Wait, how can we make that work? La cucaracha, pencils, markers, and some pens. La cucaracha, I dropped it behind the desk again. I dropped it behind the desk again. Ba-da-na-na, ba-da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Dropped it behind the desk. I dropped it behind the desk again. I dropped it behind the desk again. Oh, something like that, maybe. I dropped it behind the desk again. That's good. I dropped it behind the desk again. La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Here we go. From the top. La cucaracha, pencils, markers, and some pens. La cucaracha, dropped it behind the desk again. Try to find the chords on that.
da 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 da